Welcome, fanatics, to another week of Two Shades of Gray. I'm Adam Gray, joined as always by Rob. Rob, how you doing today?
Not bad. I'm kind of recovering from a cold. I guess it's been going around the region quite bad. I don't think it hit me quite as hard as some. I've heard people mention being really feeling pretty crappy for a couple weeks. I think I'm on the other end of it in 4 days.
I have two things that always cure a cold. Two things. First, scotch. Whenever I feel it coming on, pour myself a little scotch in the rocks, and I've been on record as saying this often.
Half a bottle?
Half a bottle to a full bottle. I don't judge. I don't judge at all. And then the second thing that always cures a cold is Iowa State going on a 5-game winning streak. I think that could pick up anybody's spirits pretty quickly and make them feel a hell of a lot better. What do you think on that?
It certainly can, but that's pure quackery in terms of the medical.
Which one, the scotch or the wins?
The virus-related, virologists probably wouldn't be great about that. But
Rob, are you trying to tell me that when Iowa State goes on a 5-game winning streak, you don't feel better?
In a mental capacity.
You feel a hell of a lot happier, don't you?
Yeah. It affects your mood.
There you go.
Unfortunately, it cannot affect the inner workings.
Not with a negative attitude like that, it can't.
Like that.
I'll tell you what.
You know what? That should be the ultimate placebo effect. Now, the problem, though, is go back in time, before Hoiberg got this all turned around. Just imagine how many colds everyone would have for years on end.
What if
throughout the winter?
All this time, we've been putting all this money into research to cure all these horrible diseases, and all it took was Iowa State just winning a national championship, and everything in the world would be right again. I mean, I think there's something to be said about this.
I thought that might be the case when my Chicago Cubs finally won the World Series, and it isn't.
No one cares. No one cares about the Cubs, Rob. We're all about
the
Cyclones.
You're right. Many more people worldwide and nationwide care about the Cyclones.
Care about the Cyclones and their 5-game winning streak. Coming at home.
6-7.
6-7, one of which being at the Fog. You were there on Saturday.
How big of a win was that for Iowa State?
Well, huge, as we all know. I mean, you've lost to them 5 straight. Monte Morris has always joked about Scott Drews before the media timeouts. Always thinking it's crazy, and it always seems to work, kind of spark the Bears. They came right back in it, but I mean, it's crazy to think the last time Iowa State beat Baylor was on that first of back-to-back Big 12 tournament title runs. I think it was 5 or 6 days before George Niang, North Carolina Central.
Yeah.
The team of destiny that unfortunately broke his foot during, still reached the Sweet 16. And
we don't need to talk about that
there.
Right now, Rob.
It was still a pretty stirring run, though. It was important to get back to the Sweet 16.
Yeah, absolutely.
First time since the 2000 team, of course, made the Elite Eight. So
I still think, and tell me if I'm wrong here, that Iowa State team, besides the Marcus Fizer, Jamal Tinsley team, had the best chance of going to a Final Four and run a national championship.
Oh, there's no question. I mean, not only is George a phenomenal freshman.
He's a sophomore.
That's right. Yep. But you got
30-year-old DeAndre Kane.
Yep. Just a dynamo. I mean, in so many ways.
Tough as nails.
And, the things he did for Monte Morris are, well documented, to toughen him up. And then you've got, Melvin Edgem. You've got so many guys. I mean,
Big 12 player of the year that year.
Yeah. I mean, you had a complete basketball team, and then you didn't.
Mm-hmm.
When George unfortunately suffered the broken foot, but still a Sweet 16 team. And we all know that Hoiberg contended, the next season, or shortly after, that he felt that was a team that could win the national championship.
Yeah.
I don't think there's anybody that watched them play down the street, certainly in Kansas City that year too, that doubted that.
Yeah.
But either way, that's obviously a long time ago then, and you finally get that that bear off your back. And
pun intended there?
I guess so. Forgive me, I'm recovering from the cold, remember. But Motley does what he does against Iowa State. He had 27-11. Kind of surprised they didn't just feed the beast even more. But LeConte, I think it was big that he had to come out when he was hobbled after that, I think, flop that he had.
Yep.
And then, of course, Donovan Jackson continues to hit big shots. Monte Morris continues to hit big shots. They hit almost all their free throws until the last 13 seconds. They missed 3 of 4 to kind of allow the Bears a chance there at the end to tie it up with that shot by McClure. But just a gutsy effort. And you, as you touched on, five-game win streak at this stage of the season, it doesn't seem to be reflecting itself in bracketology projected seedings at this point. But Iowa State's one of the hottest teams in the country in the Power Five sense. And, you know, when you rack up the, you know, the four road wins that they've had at Oklahoma State, obviously it was a huge matchup on Tuesday back in Hilton for senior night. But, you know, at Kansas, you know, the way they played on the road and at home, I think Iowa State's going to be a really tough out. So if they're being seven seed in the NCAA tournament, watch out. But, I meandered a little bit there, but very huge, you know, and minus 20 on the glass. Do you find a way? And Coach Prom said after the game, you know, it's just like, yeah, we kind of, how did we do that? But it's kind of, we are, we're small. You know, we're not going to out-rebound teams very often. But what you do is, they didn't turn Baylor over as much, but they did outscore them 15-4 in points off turnovers. And I think that was a pretty non-existent stat at halftime.
Yep.
So that kind of helped them pull away a little bit too. Just a great win in terms of general momentum, and also in shedding that can't beat Baylor tag that they've had over the last few seasons.
To me, that was a Hilton Magic type of win. One that, you know, unfortunately we didn't see against Kansas or West Virginia, but one where, I'm sorry, Baylor missed 34 shots if you count their field goals and free throws. Or Iowa State had 34 opportunities to get defensive rebounds, in which Baylor got 20 out of those 34 rebounds.
Yeah.
And Iowa State still won that game. If that's at a neutral court, or if that's, you know, if that's in Kansas City, or if that's down in Waco or somewhere else, Iowa State's not winning that game. But they always seem to be able to find a way to win these games at home. Crowd gets into it. And you're right. The seniors just hitting big shot when they need to hit big shots. Their efficiency right now is through the roof on offense. And Donovan Jackson's turned into a kind of a Naz Long-like, where we saw Naz as sophomore. You're hitting all these big shots when they really need him. I mean, was there any doubt when he spotted up for three and Bowie did a good job kicking out to him that he was making that three? To me, I mean, I never doubted for a second that three was going in the hoop.
Yeah, it was pretty – You could sense the general aura of confidence as that was going up in the arena. And you're right. I mean, I still think the way Iowa State shoots it, that's why they've done so well on the road. They're a consistent shooting team now.
They are.
And that doesn't mean they won't have a bad game. Every team has a bad game here and there. But they do it on the road, too. Whereas sometimes in the past, particularly early in the Hoiberg regime, you could ride that magic and you'd shoot a lot better at home and you'd do certain things a lot better at home. You might defend. Mm-hmm. When you went to the road, you could be lost for full 10, 20 minutes, full half.
Yeah.
And not hitting anything. And these guys, I think, in large part to the senior leadership, but I think also with just a steady guiding hand of Prohm not flying off the handle, if they do get into a little bit of a funk, it doesn't stick with them generally. Yes, they've had those games, and we can look at Texas. Just, whoa, what if they hadn't lost to Texas? We're talking a seven-game win streak.
Yeah.
But at this point, what they're doing right now has been a portrait of consistency, getting out-rebounded, out-shooting teams, turning teams over, and turning those into points and wins.
This is not the first game, and it's not going to be the last game this year where Iowa State's gotten outshot. Or, you know, other team has taken
more shots,
15 more field goals.
Yep.
I think Baylor took 16 more field goals, actually, this last game, and Iowa State was still able to overcome it. One huge reason, Iowa State only had 5 turnovers. I mean, 5 turnovers for an entire game, that's an unbelievable stat. And that if you're able to take care of the ball, you might be giving another team other opportunities. But Iowa State's defense, at least on the first set of defense,
yep,
is very, very good.
Mm-hmm.
What's been killing them, obviously, has been the second chance points. But they're able to overcome it right now. They're shooting the ball as well as they've shot it all year, playing with a ton of confidence. And I just like where this team's at right now. Now, of course, they got Oklahoma State coming up this week, who Iowa State's as hot as any team in the country, 5-game winning streak, 6-7. This Oklahoma State team's even hotter.
Yeah.
They've won 10 out of the last 11 games.
Yep, they start, and 9 of 10 in conference, yeah.
9 of 10 in conference. I mean, so it's going to be fun. I think Iowa State's going to get the job done. I've been on record saying this. I like Monte Morris against Evans. I think it brings out the best in him.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, the only thing that worries you a little bit is just senior day. Is the team going to kind of get off to a little bit of a slow start because of that pressure? This is my last game in Hilton. I don't think they will. I think they come out ready to play. And I actually think they win this game. I think they win this game by 10, Rob.
So kind of mirroring what happened in Stillwater.
A little bit.
That was a 10-point game.
Yeah.
I like him to win, too. I don't – maybe it stretches 10 with late free throws or something. I think it's a pretty tight game throughout because we, you know, on other podcasts, and I'm sure you were doing the same, I was marveling at how much Oklahoma State was struggling early on when you got a guy the caliber of Evans, mm-hmm. you got a guy the caliber of Forte, you got Carroll emerging as a star.
Carroll very
and
good.
Other guys, you know, that, you know, are solid players. And they finally put it all together. And a lot of credit to Brad Underwood there, but also just that group holding it together. It's pretty, you know, it's cliche, but it's pretty easy to go south when you start the conference the way that would they 0-4, I believe.
0-6.
0-6.
And now they're 9-7. I mean, yeah. that's remarkable turnaround.
Yeah, that's a team that believes, and that's a team that can weather a lot of storms. And
well, you know, those they won't be if they mirror their coach at all, they're not gonna be scared about coming into Hilton at all. I mean, no. Underwood, he's a tough coach. I'm not happy he's in the conference because I think he's gonna do an unbelievable job there. So the senior night here, Iowa State's got four key seniors, six total that they're gonna be saying goodbye to in Hilton. The three big ones stand out, obviously, though, because they've been here for 4 to 5 years: Monte, Naz, and Matt. How will those guys be remembered?
Well, as some of the greatest Cyclones ever, at least some of the favorites. I mean, it's one of the things that's fun about going back for these where are they nows. And a lot of times, you know, just in terms of memories of a lot of our fans, it's not often we go back to, say, the 70s or the 80s, but we go back a lot of times at early 2000s teams or late 90s. You know, some of the glory days teams, particularly the 1999-2000 team, and it's fun to do that. And some of those guys that were quote-unquote role players are some of the favorites, and I think that'll be how a lot of these teams in recent years, whether, you know, go back to the Sweet 16 team that ended in Madison Square Garden, go back to even last year's team, even some of the, you know, that's the team, George Hanks' junior season. We won't say anything about it other than, you know, won a second straight Big 12
We're not going to talk about UAB, is that what you're saying?
Yeah, okay. Yeah. But, I mean, a lot of these role players are going to be remembered really well. But these guys, of course, that we were talking about there are more than role players. They're bona fide stars in their own right. You know, when you know that Monte is going to set the NCAA record for assist-to-turnover ratio. It's unreal what he's doing in Big 12 play. Again, what was it, 7-0, I think, against Baylor, assist turnover. Mm-hmm. Hitting that mid-range. He's on fire, that mid-range shot.
And his little floater.
And his threes are good, yeah. And the floater teardrop, I mean, he is playing a tremendous basketball. And Naz is shooting it. Matt obviously hobbled a bit, but he's given it his all.
And he always rebounds, doesn't he? If he has a bad game, he comes back the next game ready to
go. And he's hitting it at a phenomenal clip, too, generally, you know, in most of these games. And then you throw in Deontay, who, you know, what, 15 in the first half against Baylor, a force in there, three blocks. You know, just
– I thought his energy level, especially to start the game, was as good as we've ever seen. I thought he came in locked and loaded and just right – I mean, it stood out to me. It's so much that I text Chris right away and said, Deontay's bringing a little extra something to this game tonight.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, I mean, when I think of the seniors, I think of it one word, winners. Mm-hmm. I mean, and they're going to go down as one of, if not the winningest, you know, trio, I guess, in Iowa State history. Played in a lot of big games. Naz has hit a ton of big shots in his career. Monte's hit a ton of big shots. And, you know, Matt has just been the solid force, especially his junior, senior season, shooting the ball really well, playing good defense. And you're 100% right as you're doing like this, where are they now, like Cantrell Horton. Iowa State fans remember Cantrell Horton, you know, with they love Cantrell. They think of him favorably, right?
And
Stevie Johnson. And they were both very good players, right? But why do Iowa State fans love them so much? Because they played on winning teams. Mm-hmm. You look at a guy like Craig Brackens. Craig Brackens is a better basketball player than Naz Long, Matt Thomas, Cantrell Horton, Stevie Johnson. But he didn't win. Mm-hmm. And not no fault of his own. I'm not blaming, you know, other circumstances around it.
Sure.
But when Iowa State fans talk about, oh, man, who are some of their favorite players? Craig Brackens is not going to be one that gets brought up very often, even though he was a tremendous player, scored 42 points against Kansas, got drafted in the first round. And it's all because people like to kind of go back to, you know, the good old days, so to speak. So I think these seniors, history is going to look back at them very fondly. Iowa State fans are always going to look back and be like, man, that's long. Remember that three hit against Oklahoma State, both home and away? You know, geez, whenever we needed just a nice, solid play, Monte was there. Monte always making the right play. Didn't have to do anything flash. He got the job done. And, man, Matt Thomas, prettiest jumper we've ever seen. I mean, that jump shot was beautiful. And then even Deontay Burton here at Iowa State for a year and a half. But, man, what an impact in a year and a half. There's few guys that can make as big of an impact in a year and a half. Calvin Cato was one of them. McKay was one of them.
Yep.
But there's not a whole lot that can do what those guys did in a short period of time.
And not the drama that McKay had.
Not the drama, though.
You know, a guy that clearly cared, but just kind of had some issues holding, you know, certain aspects together. You know, Burton, you know, he had a feeling that he was sort of that guy, but from media day forward, I remember Coach Prum saying he's a different guy, and Deontay Burton saying he's a different guy, talking about being a, I think he's always this, but a poet. He's kind of a – all these guys have sides to them that few of us know, and that's another thing that's fun about doing features on them, either looking back or in season. Like I pulled up a couple of the ones I did on like Naz about how he was groomed to be a boxer, his dad the kickboxer, and his dad when he watched him train was he reminded him of a young Cassius Clay as he attacked the bag, you know, and then but they had a basketball gym at the same place where he trained for his boxing stuff, and he'd always get some shots up, and then eventually a crossroads. You got to choose, son. You know, what's it going to be? Are you going to kind of follow in dad's footsteps? Are you going to forge your own path? And Naz had to leave home and, you know, really make a big, big, big sacrifice for this dream. And think what he's gone through. He comes to Iowa State. I mean, he becomes pretty much a star point guard for CIA Bounce, you know, out of Canada and prep school and everything.
Yeah.
Commits to Iowa State, doesn't play freshman year.
Breaks his hand or wrist or something like that, I think, his freshman year.
Yeah, but I mean, not for the season, yeah, sort of situation. You know, it's a tough first year, as he's talked about. But sticks with it, comes out, does some of the things you mentioned, sophomore year, and then the next year, and then the double hip surgery. And then yep, you come back, and then, oh, man, it's not there. And you get this year. And this year, you're sitting at, what, 13-9 at one point? Or 13-8 heading into Kansas.
Yep.
These guys find a way. Heart and soul guy. I think of Monte, the feature I did on him a few years back, that he had a guy who was kind of a father figure coaching him.
Was it Mateen Cleaves?
No, it was just a guy in the neighborhood.
I get you.
You know, Flint Beecher High School. I know Monte's coach, Mike Williams, told me he was the best player at Flint Beecher since Mateen Cleaves.
Yeah.
And that he was going to, quote, change the culture at Iowa State. That's what he told me when Monte recruited. I was at the Cedar Rapids Gazette at the time, and I pulled that up. I think it's safe to say he's done that.
He's been one of the guys, for sure. There's no question.
But that day where that guy stood there with 15, 16 kids and said, one of you is going to make it. One of you is going to make it.
Yeah.
Three of you are going to end up here. Four of you are going to end up here. Two here. But one of you is really going to make it. And that's it.
Yep.
That's it. Monte remembered thinking, that's going to be me.
Yeah.
And, you know, those are fun things to look back on. You know, all these guys have a hero's journey to tell, where they've encountered some extreme adversity beyond, oh my gosh, we've lost three games in a row. And that's, I think there are going to be a lot of tearful people in Hilton on Tuesday night, you know, knowing they're saying goodbye to these guys. They knew they'd be that way when George and Yang graduated, Niang.
Yep.
I think it's going to build in people.
Yeah.
You know, regardless of the outcome, you know, we're both on the record projecting a win given how hot Iowa State is, and it's at Hilton and all those things. But, you know, I don't know. Just I think that'll be – it'll be emotional, obviously, for the players as well. And we'll have a chance to talk to them today in advance of that game. And obviously, Coach Prohm does things a little bit differently. They do a little thing after the game.
Yep.
What Finley does a little bit.
I'm looking forward to that, by the way.
Yeah.
I'm looking forward to hearing what each player has to say. And, you know, people that are listening to this, too, go on the forums when we upload in the forums. I'd like to hear what everyone's, like, favorite memory of each player is. Because they've all had, you know, there's many different plays that probably stick out. The one with Monte, obviously, that sticks out is that Texas game. in the Big 12 tournament.
Yep.
When Iowa State just looked dead the entire time. I mean, it was one of those where everyone, I think, had written off. They had lost in the first round. The whole tournament was crazy because they should have lost to Oklahoma, should have lost to Kansas. They ended up winning the championship. Mm-hmm. But him to step back there and hit that big shot was kind of the thing that stands out to me the most. And obviously, just being the leader he is. But Naz Long, to me, you know, you can go back and you can look at these big shots he get hit against Oklahoma State. North Carolina, I believe he hit that big three in the mm-hmm. corner, two people forget about. But for me, it will always be that he just seems like the guy, the glue guy, the positive leader on the sidelines. You can see even when he was out of the games last year, he was the one that kind of just keeps everyone going. And I think that's the one way I always remember Naz, is just being a good, good dude who would do anything for the team, positive guy. And then Matt Thomas, we talked about what Naz had to overcome. Matt, from a confidence standpoint, obviously with his father too, mm-hmm. and coming here, had, I would say Matt showed up at Iowa State with the most hype, even more so than Monte for some people, because he was a little bit rated, or I think he was rated just a little bit higher, not much, but a little bit, and he was a three-point shooter, right? And we love our three-point shooters. And he showed up here, and let's be honest, he struggled his first 2 years. Just lack of confidence. We saw flashes of what he could be, but we never saw it really take over. And all of a sudden, these last couple of years, we've seen Matt Thomas be the player that we kind of were expecting and hoping to be, and it's been a lot of fun to watch him grow. Just grow into being, you know, an all-around solid basketball player. So I would just say, you know, those are the three things that kind of stand out for me for those guys. I hope more than anything else they can get a win against Oklahoma State. I think they will. But to me, the big key is they got to get off to a fast start. You just don't want to see them kind of, you know, letting the emotion of the night take over for them a little bit, get them frazzled, maybe forcing stuff because they know, man, I only have so many more shots, so many more mm-hmm. minutes here in Hilton. Just go out there, play the game. I don't think this is going to be as big of a deal as it was for Niang last year, because Niang was, I'm sure he was sharing it with McKay and Nader, but they'd only been there for a year and a half, 2 years. These guys, I think they all want it for each other. They've been together for so many years that I think they will share the ball, and I think Iowa State rolls tomorrow.
Yeah, well, I think they win. I think Oklahoma State's playing so well, it's going to be hard to put them away, in a sense. Let's not forget Phil Forte a couple years ago. Naz doesn't get a chance.
If he doesn't miss a free throw.
Yeah, that guy, how many free throws has he missed in his career? How much do you think that's in the back of his mind coming in here?
I hope so.
Senior night?
I hope it is.
But the way he's playing, that guy's had struggles too. You know, had to miss last season, and he's probably got that chip on his shoulder. Now, he can't do it alone. But I just think it's going to be a true, I mean, bout. I mean,
yep.
it's going to be rough. I want to sum up the seniors with a quote that I'd had from Naz from that story a couple years ago, because I think it could apply to anybody. There's a Division I athlete, just put that in brackets and put anything you want in there. But for the seniors, this Naz quote: all the tears, all the pain, all the suffering, the hard times, the good times, the grind, it was all for me to be a Division I athlete and do things that people from where I'm from don't usually do.
It's awesome.
So, painter, salesman, put that in Division I athlete. That's a pretty good way to look at life.
Yep. No, I agree. You want something hard enough, go work for it and get her done. Once again, the Two Shades of Gray podcast is brought to you by Heartland Flags, heartlandflagpoles.com. Stop on their website. Buy a flag. You know what? If you're
buy three flags.
Buy three flags. Heck, if you're driving down to Kansas City here in about a week and a half and you want to have a couple flags flying high from the car, so, you know, as you're driving down, what is it, I-35 south there, stop on their website, heartlandflagpoles.com. Check them out. So Iowa State's got Oklahoma State, and then they're going to West Virginia. Rob, we're actually throwing a game watch for the West Virginia game. We're going to be doing it at Thunderhead. Iowa State plays there Friday. You know what? I didn't even realize it was Friday until a couple, like, I don't know, three or four days ago.
Yeah, a couple weeks ago I noticed. In fact, I think I was talking to my wife about it, and it's like, okay, so they've got wait, that's Friday?
Yeah.
When is that Friday? No.
Hey, a little extra rest before the Big 12 tournament, right?
Yeah, exactly.
We'll take it.
It gives you a little bit more of a showcase, because there's usually a paucity of Friday games.
It's usually like the Ivy League team playing.
Or you've got somebody, you know, let's say Bucknell's playing somebody or something like that.
Yeah. Nobody that any
Rhode Island might be on CBS Sports Network or something.
Yeah, a couple A-10 teams, yeah. But no, I mean, that's going to be a big one. And hopefully tonight, Baylor loses to West Virginia. so that once Iowa State takes care of business tomorrow against Oklahoma State, Iowa State is guaranteed a 3 seed. And you're playing then you're playing for a 2 seed. 2 seed would be great, but I think 2 or 3 is where Iowa State fans want to be. They want to be on the opposite side of Kansas, and they want to try to play the game. As I'm dropping stuff over here, Iowa State fans, I would assume, like that late game. I know you writers hate that late game because that means you're up even later. But for fans, especially if you don't get to go down there, 11:30 tip stinks. You might miss the game because you're at work. 8:30, sure, it's late, but at least you're at home. If you put the kids to bed, you know, and you can sit and watch the game. So I'm hopeful for 2 or 3 seed.
Yeah, and I think that's right there. And you know, you when do you want to get Kansas? If there's anybody that Iowa State should not want to play in the Big 12 tournament, it's Baylor and West Virginia, even ahead of Kansas. Given how the Cubs, going back to our earlier discussion, it's still on my mind, apparently.
You really are obsessed with this Cubs World Series. You need to get over it, Rob.
You're right. It's kind of all I got, dude.
You want Baylor or West Virginia over Kansas in the second round?
I just like the way that they met. Over the last few years, the Cyclones have obviously performed better against Kansas for whatever reason. So all I'm saying is Kansas the best team in the Big 12? Yes. But I'm not so certain that it should be like, oh, no, try to avoid Kansas until the very end. Every year we go in and say it's going to be a crazy tournament. And this year, given how things have been, you know, we see K-State fading, TCU fading, but they could – bring it back any moment. This is going to be a huge time for them. You don't want to face those teams in the tournament. Are you gonna? But
can we talk about how TCU got jobbed against West Virginia in that late foul? Did you see it?
If you want to.
Oh, we don't need to talk about it. I thought they got jobbed. But anyway, the only reason I disagree with you, Robin, I don't disagree from a matchup standpoint. Obviously, Baylor's length, and not only is it length, but it's athletic length. You look at like Purdue with that Haas kid. He's a stiff.
Yeah.
I mean, could he hurt Iowa State a little bit? Yeah, but he's not going to. Iowa State would hurt him more than he would hurt Iowa State. I compare teams that are tall like that. Baylor's the 5th best offensive rebounding team in the country. It's a horrible matchup for Iowa State. But what I like about playing them or West Virginia down in Kansas City is Iowa State have a huge home court advantage. Huge. I mean, when you go down there, Baylor might have, I don't know, a couple hundred fans. Yeah. West Virginia, if it's Kansas, if Iowa State's lucky, it's half and half. You know what I mean? In there. So that's the only thing I try to push that off as long as possible. And then who knows? Maybe Oklahoma State beats Kansas and Iowa State doesn't have to play them.
Well, it's great for the people in Kansas City if you get an Iowa State-Kansas final.
Oh, because, gosh.
You know, having covered, though, you know, I mean, it becomes truly feels half and half. And, of course, it's packed. You know, if you get a Baylor-Oklahoma final, it's pretty sparse.
Yep.
In there, and the energy level is markedly lower. So I get you there. You get the home court feel a little bit more, but man, just these white knuckle rides through these tournaments when they've won them, though. I mean, you mentioned, you know, should have lost a number of those games, and you find a way. And that's the thing about this team and why they're playing so well. They've mastered the art of balancing the now, living in the moment. You know, Fred talked about it all the time. Prohm talks about it. Most coaches talk about it. You have to be – your mind has to be completely consumed by the 40 minutes in front of you, but at the same time understanding the long view, not in a way that it's desperate, we got to catch up, or that, oh, we can – yeah, that one slipped, big deal. That 40 minutes has to be everything, but you understand the big picture and everything's moving toward it, and you do – you act in such a way – that you're going to be at your best at that point. That's where they seem to be, which is it's hard to do. I mean, unless you're a team with elite talent and virtually no flaws, that's really hard to do. And even for them, there can be some of those struggles.
I'm excited. This is we're coming up on my favorite time of the year when you get the conference tournaments, the NCAA tournament going on. It's been my favorite time of the year the last 6 years. I'll say that. Big day tomorrow, though, Rob. I think this is kind of with Iowa State winning 5 games in a row and you know, heading to their 6th straight NCAA tournament. I think this has kind of slipped people's mind a little bit. But spring football starts tomorrow.
Yeah, the availability and practices. Yeah, I mean, I know they've been workouts and all that kind of stuff, but how about that Matt Leo pick they put out there? Are they going to reboot the Conan the Barbarian series, you know, that Arnold was the star of? I mean,
was he really that big, or was the shirt just really tight?
be. He wasn't that big.
Oh, but gosh, I mean, he is big, though,
the chiseled nature of that guy. You figure there's a toughness there with the rugby background and the you know, the journey. We'll hope to catch up with him on that. I think Tommy Burch has written something pretty good about that, or very good in the past. But exciting time. Thinking about when we've talked about what this season could be like, particularly on offense. Guys like Leo, guys like Ray Lima, some redshirt freshmen, other returners on defense. You know, that's going to be the key, and we're going to start ramping up toward that April spring game.
Yeah, I think we're going to see a lot of improvement this year. What is there anything though during spring practice, and I guess even the spring game, that we can learn?
I don't think so. I mean, I think one of the things we've learned in the last handful of years in the spring game is Mitchell Harder can run pretty well against Iowa State's defense.
Yeah.
And what a tough as nails guy in story, you know, he was obviously as a WOPA and getting a scholarship and doing a lot of great things, you know, in the real time, not just the spring game. But, yeah, I mean, it's just it's kind of a celebration for fans, right? And you see some guys and you might see a big deep ball or, you know, whatever. But, yeah, they're just out there to – you know, it's an exhibition, right?
Yeah.
I mean, it's not even a glorified spring practice, because it would be crazy for people to compete maybe quite at that level in the spring game, where it's not. I mean, yeah, I don't know. It's fun, but yeah, you don't learn a ton. What we're going to learn a ton is through these availabilities and things throughout practice. Who's emerging? Who are some surprises? How are those, you know, JUCO guys on the D-line, Matt Eaton at wide receiver, who was in early and just constantly working with the jugs machine. I think the biggest question for everyone is, how is Joel Lanning going to be utilized the most?
Do you think we'll find that answer out here in spring practice?
I don't think so, but I think there'll be hints.
Yeah.
He's such a versatile athlete that and Campbell hinted last season, you know, whether it be him on the field at the same time with Jacob Park, that could mean a lot of different things. I mean, you could mix and match him into a lot of different situations, you know, fullback, tight end. I still think he's just a great short yardage guy and changeup guy as a quarterback. And let's have, his stats were not bad as just the frontline starting quarterback at all. In fact, they're pretty good. So, I mean, I think fans are rightfully excited and somewhat concerned about how much can he contribute, because he is such a, you know, dynamic player. And talk about a winner. Who's been starved for it in this program. You know, you want a guy like that, you know, and Alan Lazard too, to be able to help do the most that they can to bring it back to at least a bowl caliber level team.
I guess I'm a little hesitant when I hear, oh, you could line up a wide receiver, tight end, fullback, running back. To me, there's nothing wrong with him being the second quarterback that you put in for the short yardage, tough yards, where you also have the option for pass, and you give him 6-7 plays a game. Those are valuable plays. And I mean, is it perfect? Is Joel Lanning love the fact that he went from the full everyday starter where he's playing 60 snaps a game to 5 or 7? No, but at least he still has a very important position on the team, and a position where, I mean, we even saw the Texas Tech game last year, and granted, Texas Tech's defense couldn't stop me or you, Rob, that day, but he didn't play that much. But man, when he played, what, he had 5 touchdowns that day out of 10 plays that he ran? I mean, it was there's a position for him, and in my opinion, that position is staying at quarterback, doing what we saw him do the last 3-4 games of the year.
Well, I agree too, but I mean, at the same time, can you imagine him lining up, you know, kind of as a fullback, or almost you have a wildcat type of formation with Park out there, and who's going to get it? Or you do a zone read, you gimmick it around, and maybe Deshaunte Jones is coming the other way. You know, I mean, there's some, that's a handful of plays, right? I agree that his primary role should be that short yardage guy, guy that can, you know, change things up.
But I guess I'm just hesitant. I've heard this stuff for years as far as, well, let's line two running backs up together or two quarterbacks up, and you know, who are they going to snap the ball to? Have you ever really truly seen it? I mean, every now and then you see the play where the quarterback fakes like the ball goes over his head and they actually snap it directly to the running back, halfback direct, and he runs. But I don't know. It would be interesting. And if anyone's going to do it, I think Tom Manning would draw up a play or something like that. Yeah. I don't see it. I don't see it. That's my take.
But we've seen a lot of teams do a lot of wildcat. I mean, as fast as they're going to play still.
With two quarterbacks in the backfield at the same
time? Well, he's more or less a running back under those circumstances. Lanning is. I mean, yeah. I'm just saying that you've got a lot of talented personnel that you can plug and play with, and if you're moving fast, you're really going to catch a team off guard if all of a sudden you see two guys who identify as quarterbacks and one of them is going to do this. And, you know, yeah.
It's a good problem to have, Rob, because this time last year we came back, we only had Joel Lanning, and we really hadn't seen Joel Lanning play quarterback that much.
Yeah.
Now you have two quarterbacks that have gotten, you know, a decent amount of snaps. Zeb Nolan's come back off injury. That's the one thing that I'm excited about for spring game. I go to all the spring games for the most part. To be honest, they're fairly boring. There's not a whole lot that happens. But
it's like the tailgate.
Well, yeah, I mean, have a couple cocktails, and then you get
the camaraderie. Come on, the community.
Yeah, yeah, seeing everyone, and as long as it's a nice day, you know, it's enjoyable. Mm,
that helps.
But last year, I believe, tell me if I'm wrong, we had Lanning. I think Kyle Kemp might have been there. He might have already transferred in, but I don't believe Zeb Nolan played. Did he? Tell me if I'm.
I don't believe so.
And I don't.
And
I don't think Jacob Park played. So, to me, you get three quarterbacks. I mean, you get watching them in a spring game, I think, would be enjoyable, watching all three of the quarterbacks, if Zeb is able to. I don't know. Obviously, he's coming back off the injury. I don't know how much they're going to want to push him out there. The quarterbacks don't ever get hit in the spring game anyway. I mean,
yeah, they better not.
No, there's no point to it. So, you know, that's the one thing I want to see. And the second thing I always enjoy seeing in spring practice is those redshirt freshmen. How much bigger have they gotten?
Mm-hmm.
You know, what kind of size have they added on strength? I always find it very fascinating when the strength and conditioning coaches get interviewed this time of year and they can kind of talk about who have been stars in the weight room. But otherwise, other than that, I think it's one of those where for everything you hear, you kind of have to take it with a little bit of a grain of salt. Because there's been a lot of times players have been talked up in the spring that then come fall practice, fall games, they don't play.
Oh, yeah. Even in fall camp at times. So
they don't play. So, I mean, but I'm excited. I love football. I'm excited about the program, the direction they're going. I'm on record. I think they're going bowling this year for the reasons that you said, too. Not just because the offense, I think, is going to be, for Iowa State standards, dynamic. But I think the defense is going to be noticeably better.
Yeah.
So, all right, and then obviously we'll just hit on a quick recruiting piece. Iowa State picked up their first commitment of 2018 this last week. Will McDonald, 6'5 defensive end from Wisconsin. This kid only played football 1 year, Rob, but he just looks like a stud athlete. 6'5, 6'6. I think he's got a 6'9 wingspan, plays basketball as well. I watched his film on Huddle. The kid can run. There's one that actually replay where he's like 25 yards behind chasing the running back, catches the running back on a play. Shows the kid hustles and also shows he's got the speed to make up the difference. So those are the kind of players I like to see. He's only 200 pounds right now, but they can build him up. They can, I mean, he'll play probably 240 and then you keep that speed on him and he could be a nice, nice player for Iowa State. So I think it's a good commitment for the Clones.
For sure. Yeah. The weight struck me too, but I mean, that's talk about a good problem. You don't want to start with a guy that's, you know, maybe 10 pounds overweight because he feels he's got to be a certain size.
Yeah.
As he moves. I think this kid's going to draw up a lot of more interest. I know he's got some interest from some pretty big time schools. I think that's going to continue to grow. We've talked about holding on to guys.
It's part of it, right?
Yeah, it's important here because you're right. He's got some really, really impressive just athletic skills. And like you said, you can put you don't have to be, you know, you're not a D tackle. You don't have to have a ton of weight. You just have to have strength and enough that you're not going to be easily displaced all the time. So very, very exciting commitment there, and just you just hope that that they hold on to him.
You can't say displaced without me thinking of Bloom's displacement.
I was thinking about that.
Were you? Yeah. Gosh. I saw when Baylor, who was it? It wasn't Motley. It was the other tall guy. Went over the back, and I say over the back because I'm not a dork. And 99% of people say over the back.
I'll tell you what, if you're at this state tournament.
Yeah.
Over the back.
Yeah. You know why? Because that's what everyone says. Even coaches and you'll hear a referee comes over the back. They call it. They don't say displacement. Bloom started something that out of nothing there. But anyway, I saw people on Twitter. It's kind of become a funny joke saying, well, the displacement by the Baylor player. And
yep.
Just makes
it's like call or defend.
Makes me shake my head a little bit. But, yeah, so once again, everybody listening, we're going to do a game watch at Thunderhead this Friday. Game starts at 6 o'clock. Join us. We'll have some beers, some food. We'll have a good time. And yeah, I don't know about you, Rob. I always love watching Iowa State games with a big group of Iowa State fans.
A lot of fun.
I enjoy it, especially when they win. I'll never forget. I think we did one at Benchwarmers a couple years back, the BYU game. Mm. Remember that when DeAndre Kane scratched scratched his eyeballs.
He could be in a sophomore because he went on his mission already. That guy's a sophomore.
Yeah, that's very surprising. And their point guard, did you watch them play the other day? Their point guard, Hawes?
Yeah, younger Hawes, yeah.
He looks like he's 40.
He does. He's got the receding hairline.
Oh, my gosh. I've looked.
In admission for a couple years.
He has to be at least 35, Rob. I'm sorry.
Be.
I saw him play at the YMCA earlier that morning. He had two knee braces on.
Was Niang there?
No, Niang wasn't there. But you know
that's
what? I'm sitting there watching this Haas kid, and I'm like, how old is – and I Google it, and I'm like, he's a freshman? No way is this kid a freshman. And then he pulls up and hits three threes in a row, one of which was a bomb. And I'm like, oh, they're Baylor. BYU, they might be in this. Because to start that BYU-Gonzaga game, they're getting run out of the gym. I thought Gonzaga was going
to
win by
– wasn't it 16-2 or something?
16-2 or 3, just okay. Like that. Yep. Yeah. And then I woke up the next morning and saw they won. I was shocked. Just completely shocked. But I don't know how we got on that topic. But anyway, yeah, we'll have the game watch party next Thursday. We're trying to figure out a time for CFTV Live this week. Chris is going to be out for just a little bit. So we're actually looking at doing a spring preview, trying to get Jeff Woody and maybe one of his ex-football players in to do something. And then obviously we'll have the fall cast coming up on Thursday. But thanks again, everyone, for listening. Thanks again to our sponsors, Heartland, heartlandflagpoles.com. Check them out. And I appreciate it, Rob.
Hey, thank you, man.
Yeah, we'll see you later. Go Clones. We'll